tonight we're going to be talking about the support of Sangha, what it offers us in terms of support. This is an extraordinary meeting for Alameda Sangha. It's our first on Zoom. This Sangha has been kind of like the phoenix that rose from the ashes back in January, and now we're doing it again in the midst of this worldwide crisis. We're finding a way to go on as a Sangha in the midst of this terrifying pandemic that's turned upside down our everyday world. Most people today have never faced such a vast transformation of their reality. Your parents may have lived through the Depression and World War II, but our lives have been spent mostly in peace and plenty. Many people today, in fact, are not able to face what is happening now, and they insist on living the way they did 3 months ago, which is putting themselves and others at risk. Those of us who have practiced seeing things as they are, as the Buddha put it, have an advantage in making the necessary adjustments to this new reality. But it's still difficult for us. We may be doing what the experts advise, but still having a hard time adjusting emotionally. There is so much confusion, thanks to our lack of national leadership, that we're likely to be facing a lot of frustration. Isolation is eased somewhat by the internet and telephones, which let us communicate and see others and have group meetings like this. But we often miss just being with people, especially particular people that we love, who are staying away to protect themselves and others. And then there's fear. We barely know what's happened so far and have no idea what's going to happen next. I have all sorts of fears about our screwy healthcare system, which is already strained. The dedication of its doctors, nurses, technicians, and staff. I wonder, will someone be there to x-ray my broken ankle when it's supposed to be done healing and then free me from my cast? Will they be there if Carla or I get sick? Will my beloved niece, who's a nurse practitioner in a small city, in a community clinic where she has a lot of walk-in contacts, and her surgeon husband be safe despite the shortages of protective gear? I was talking recently with someone on the other side of the country who was obsessively afraid of getting ill and, without knowing it, spreading the virus to her parents and people she loved and to others. The future is not a friendly place for our thoughts to go these days. We can't change the way the future might make us feel, but we can stop our thoughts from making us suffer over things that have not happened and might not. We can instead put our mindfulness to use. In fact, we can put our mindfulness to use stopping those fear-inducing thoughts. Even as we stand in the midst of chaos, we can find peace. We have the people that you can see with you right now. We're together tonight. You have friends in the Dharma who support your practice, who have joined you tonight as a sangha. We come together in order to take care of ourselves. And as the Acrobat Sutta says, by doing that, we take care of each other. You take care of yourself, and by doing that, you take care of others. Just like the medical experts have been telling us. Like that person who was so afraid of spreading the virus to people she cared about, we understand that we're all in this together. The virus connects us all like an invisible web that stretches between all people all over the globe. And apparently, some animals too. We all share this threat. And yet, in a way that seems contradictory, it unites us all. It's a great equalizer. And when we see this connectivity, we're seeing life as it truly is, fragile as a gossamer thread, but holding us all together. When the Buddha accepted new monastics into his following, he required that they take three refuges. This isn't any kind of a vow, but an acknowledgement and an acceptance of getting a lot of background noise. Someone who's moving around, maybe mute your audio. So by taking the refuges, we're acknowledging that life can be brutally tough, but that we always have these three places where we can go to be safe and supported. The three refuges, of course, are the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha. The Buddha is the potential that we all have to achieve liberation through this practice. The Dharma is the teachings by the Buddha and some outstanding followers of his over the many centuries. And the Sangha. The Sangha is those other practitioners who support our practice. In other words, us. The people you see on your screen, at our physical meetings, and many more, like Laurel, Laurel Scheinman, I can't see the other one on the screen, but who moved away this past year and has now joined us from half a continent away. Plus, you know, the hundreds of people who are on the Sangha's mailing list who nonetheless stay in touch with this Sangha through the website and our regular emails and maybe listen to Dharma talks that have been recorded. I hear from them and they say this is still their Sangha. One of the great strengths of Alameda Sangha is the connection that we have to each other. We hear each other talk during discussion periods, and they hear us. We socialize before and after physical meetings, and we have come together for potlucks once or twice a year. Friendships have grown up among us. And there's a loyalty to this Sangha that kept it going last December when Deb and I found ourselves unable to surmount the challenges of having to leave the church where we'd met for about 10 years. Although we're not in robes and living together like monastics, this Sangha really is a refuge in the historical tradition. We are what the Sutta calls spiritual friends. Ananda once asked the Buddha, if this kind of friendship was a large part of the spiritual life. And the Buddha said, no, It's the whole of the spiritual life. So in facing this pandemic, we should remember that we have each other. We share this refuge. Please open your heart to helping this Sangha keep going by participating, by continuing to show up for our Zooming meetings and through Donna. Please approach Donna as the Buddha intended, being mindful of your own generosity and desire to support the Sangha in recognition of how it supports you. And even though we don't have a Donna basket somewhere with us tonight, you can contribute Donna by going to my website, RebeccaDixon.org. And there's a button in the upper right corner that says donate. And again, if you do that, please do it mindfully of how you're feeling about giving. I have three questions for you to answer in our discussion this evening. And you can answer or address any that catch your interest. Or, of course, you can always talk about anything you like. My first question to you is, how has COVID-19 particularly affected you? Second, how does having this Sangha help? Or if you're from another Sangha and new to this one, how does the Sangha that you have help you face this crisis? And third, what more can each of us do to have the support of Sangha with us 24/7? In closing, I just want to say how much I cherish being a part of Alameda Sangha. May we all stay well. Thank you. For future meetings, I might recommend that you find the mute button up at the top of your right-hand corner, top of your screen, if you're going to move around or make any noise that's not conversation.
I have a response to your question. This is Kathleen. I feel that the continual changes every day since the beginning of the COVID virus have unsettled me quite a bit, and that I have used my meditation so much so that I probably meditate about 3 times as much as I normally do. It seems like about 3 hours some days, or 2 hours. And the reason being that I need to settle down and feel connected to myself and to the world in a positive way. So I do resort to meditation. Of course, I have more time because there isn't a schedule anymore. No place to go. No shopping to do. We can cook. I go out and ride my bike in the sunshine. But other than that, I find myself meditating quite a bit. And the Sangha is a great source of joy to me because I know that I've got some meditation buddies out there. And I just say to David, I'm going to meditate now. Would you like to join me? And sometimes he does. The meditation is just a great help to me right now and all that I've learned at the Sangha.
Hi, this is Mara speaking. I find the greatest effect that this new situation has on me is that I feel I can't do the things that I'm used to doing, which benefit me so much, because they're all include being social with other people. And to me, that's the hardest thing, is to not have an outlet like that where I can be physically amongst other people and participate in those particular activities, which are like a sport thing, dragon boat paddling, a chorus. I sing in a couple of choruses, and I get to take pottery classes, and I've made friends there, and just any kind of, all the concerts that I had tickets to have all been canceled. Any kind of social events, it's just kind of overwhelming. And it also makes me appreciate being able to, in the future, I just appreciate being with people even more. And it's one of the worst things, is kind of ironic right now, is at a time when we all need, myself included, some kind of, we need a hug. We need to be able to comfort people. We can't even touch each other. You know, it's tonight I'm reminded how we are all connected, and it really helps to sense presence of everybody tonight, even if we're not physically together. I think that's about it for now.
Thank you, Mara.
This is Laurel from Salt City, that Laurel. After too many years of being completely overcommitted, I retired when we moved here. And with the move behind us, we have stacks and stacks of boxes in our second bedroom because I've become a sloth. And I'm very, really comfortable with that. I have lots of books to read. And if you for a moment could take away the heartache about what's happening out there, beyond my door and my windows, I'm in heaven. I have a stack of books that have been made for decades. I have comfy pajamas. I've got slippers. I've got movies to binge watch. And I have electronics that can keep me in touch with people. I can FaceTime with people. I can text. I can email. I can call. So today I happened to call relatives in five different states and spent time doing that. And so I'm grateful for all of that. But in terms of what the Sangha brought to me, truly it changed my life when I came to Alameda Sangha in 2010. Changed it in so many ways. And that probably the biggest thing that I'm calling on right now is equanimity. And just the belief that I'm not going to do anyone good, any good, if I'm lying on the ground. The most important thing I can do is stay calm and have trust. And I call at times in my past and in the past of others whom I love that have been really horrible and you didn't think you'd make it through. And in the end, you do. Your life might be changed because of it. But, you know, if you're lucky, you make it through and you're still breathing. So that's what I'm relying on right now. I years ago, probably more than 5 years ago now, I was passing a bookstore, and there was a big book that blown up in the front of the window, and I took a picture of it, and it was a quote that said, "It came to me one day, what is really going to save us all is inner preparedness, because all of those steps we take for outer preparedness could fall apart. But what we have inside us is not going to break down. We have it in us no matter what." So that was just an expression of equanimity, what equanimity is to me. And as I feel incredible compassion for people I know here and home who are hourly, have hourly wages and don't know what, how the money will shake out. I think probably the one thing that I feel the most tension and sadness about is not knowing what to do, what I can do, because I'm in that at-risk group. So nobody wants me to come out and volunteer and help them. But I certainly can do my meditation, say my prayers, and keep in touch with people. And as appropriate, I just sent a whole Amazon order to a friend of mine who can't get out of the house and had no idea how she was going to get anything. So that felt good to be able to do that. But just trying to be aware of where I can help. And the only way I can help is to stay on my feet and to stay centered and in the moment. So I'm so happy to be able to call into this tonight. So thank you so much for all of you who are there.
Thank you. Glad you could join us. Robin, you're muted.
Yeah, go ahead. Hi, this is Alex. And I'm very happy to be able to join by Zoom. And it's new to me. At first, everybody was so tiny on the screen, and I thought there must be a way to make this bigger. And then I was able to get the interpreter full screen. Before, I had just a hearing person that I couldn't hear, but now I've got the interpreter full screen, and I so much appreciate having the interpreter there. I do have one question, though. I like Zoom. I like this Zoom meeting, but I'm wondering how often will these meetings be taking place? Because I live in Southern California in Pasadena, and occasionally I go to temple to the Japanese temple, but it's different. And I like this. I like this setup. I like this group. So I'm just curious, how often do you expect to have these Zoom?
That may be a question for the steering committee.
Right now, we have some glitches because we are not a 501c3 yet, and we're not sure what our status will be. So right now, this may be it. For a while, we don't know. We have to have a steering committee meeting where our future will be determined for the near future.
Oh, okay, this is Alex again. It's maybe we could have a verbal vote if everybody who's on a call now would like to have these meetings, and maybe people could somehow do some sort of donations where we can continue these meetings. That's one thing I want to talk about. But the second question I actually had was, I want to talk about meditation. I really enjoy this energy of meditating. And, you know, to me, it's sort of like when you're taking pictures and your battery runs out, and then you've got to recharge your battery, and then it becomes full again. That's what meditation feels like to me. I feel like I get regenerated and full. But my question is, where should we sit? I know that, you know, I know there's the four directions, north, south, east, and west. And I noticed for me, having north behind me feels much better. I just energetically, it feels much better to me. And I'm not sure if, you know, if I'm getting something from that or not. But I don't know. That's just something I've been thinking about and wondering.
Yeah, Alex, I would say that if you find it helpful, do it. There are so many variables in the way that we can meditate that you just work with them. See what works for you. Okay.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Hi, this is Judith. I am so excited about this because it's much more accessible to the deaf people all across the country, having it in this format. So it's extremely exciting. I can't wait to see what the future brings.
I was excited about this to begin with because I really wanted to talk to this beloved Sangha now in this worldwide situation that we've got. And then when I realized that our deaf members could be with us again with so little difficulty, and we can all see each other's faces, those of you who've come out into the light. But this is great. I would love if this could continue.
Yeah, never dreamed this would happen.
I see Laurel wants to speak. You're going to have to unmute yourself.
I was wondering with the interpreters whether there is a Venmo account that you want to promote so we can contribute towards the interpreters this evening. And also I just wanted to mention, as Gail, we're going to have a steering committee meeting next week to discuss how to continue having teachers have their offerings, but right now we don't have the ability to accept payments. We're not an organization with a bank. So what we're hoping to do, at least to begin with, is to connect the Sangha with teachers who may be offering their own teachings and have their own mechanisms for Zooming and for accepting Dhamma, and we would be able to kind of put the word out about those offerings, you know, when and where they're happening.
Keep me posted, please.
This is Judy speaking again. I just learned this evening that some interpreters are not wanting or expecting payment while others are. So I think that if we do find that that exists, then we can find a way to make it work and people can contribute on it and we can offer those, and the interpreters can take that or not, depending.
Well, since we have an interpreter here, if she is, if she would like to accept Dhamma and would like to tell us, for example, her Venmo information, then that is a thing for us to make happen directly to her.
So this is Robin, the interpreter speaking, and thank you for the offer. I would prefer not to take it. Thank you.
Just speaking for myself, I'm coming in from the dark ages to this technology. I've got a learning curve ahead of me, but we'll all climb it together. And eventually, this could really work. So I'd like to hear from the people who have been silent so far. Risa?
Great, and my big picture showing up on the screen. Hey, my world is a little different from, I was having some technical difficulties, so I switched to my computer, but oh my goodness, I have been working 12, 13, 14 hours a day for yesterday and today were my first days off for about 7 days. A lot of changes in response to this crisis. In the hospital, we are in full-blown disaster mode. And, you know, I enjoy feeling like I'm doing something that matters. You know, I complain about my work sometimes, but when it comes right down to it, this is where I feel the best about me and about my abilities, and it doesn't allow a lot of time to speculate or worry, you know, because you just have to get the job done. And it's fascinating how we're shifting around and learning new tools really quickly, and finding ways to make things work that we might not have done so quickly before. I manage a radiation oncology department, and it's really interesting. We have more people now because elective surgeries have been canceled, so our cancer patients can actually get in faster, which is quite kind of bizarre to me. But you can't stop cancer treatment; they keep going. The directors of the organization are also responsible for being part of the screening process across the facility and a great deal of other work.
This is Judy, if I could get in here really quickly. Yeah. I just had an insight that you now are enjoying what you're doing because you're constantly living in the moment.
No, this practice has really, you know, in the chaos, I feel a groundedness that I probably wouldn't have experienced 5 years ago. And it definitely is because of this practice. It is the moment, Judy. Because you can't think too far ahead or too far behind because you've just got to get done what needs to be done now.
Exactly. Yes. So it feels very different.
So it's mixed. I still go out to the hills and run, staying away from people, and connect with friends via telephone, but. Yesterday and today, I pretty much stayed in bed outside of my run and did some paperwork and stuff like that. But because I know that tomorrow is going to be another 12-hour day, but I'm optimistic about it. I think it's the right thing to do. And I'm glad that I can be in service of others, which is why I went into this field in the first place.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Julie. I too am working, not quite as hard as Risa, and I'm working from my house, which I don't like at all, but I have a job, so I'm grateful for that. In a way, like Judy said, it's being present in the moment. I work for the federal government, so we're busy. And there's a lot going on, but I'm really more responsive to people. I'm also head of our union. So I'm really trying to support a lot of people who are very stressed out, which makes me in a way very grounded because I'm trying to not be sort of, fearful myself and trying to support people who are very stressed about their own jobs and their family situations because they have kids and many people are working from home with two children and an unemployed spouse. And I have no children and no spouse, so my life is much simpler than theirs. So it's allowed me to be much more in the present moment, trying to just be supportive of them and not really focused on myself. I have moments of freak out, and then it's sort of like, then I'm reminded that there's absolutely nothing I can do about that. So I just kind of return to breathing and I do a lot of walking meditation because I'm in my house and the one thing we can do is leave. And when I'm outside, I'm reminded of the spaciousness and the beauty of nature. I too am a runner, so I run every other day. And just staying away from people, but being outside in the blue sky and the space reminds me of I'm not trapped in my home and isolated, which I find really helpful. And when I'm walking, I try to, you know, be mindful of my steps and breathe and be grateful for all the things that we have right now, like food. I'm baffled by, you know, people hoarding toilet paper and when there is so much. Like I stood online for 45 minutes and I brought a book and I got into Trader Joe's and there was plenty of food and I went to Berkeley Bowl today and I stood online for 45 minutes and there was plenty of food. So just having patience and figuring out how to live in this new way and just accepting the way it is because there's no other option, you know? So, Laurel in Utah, I love you. It was great to hear your voice. I love the stay calm and have trust and equanimity. You always keep the Sangha with so many powerful, insightful reminders of how to be. So it's good to hear your voice. And David, thank you for setting this up very much, setting out the link and making this all happen. So, and Gail, for all your hard work in trying to find teachers and doing, keeping this all going, you know, it takes a village or a community, a Sangha. So thank you all.
Fred.
Yeah, you know, I've been attending a lot of online Dharma groups in San Francisco, New York, LA. There's For those of you that have pets, there's even one in LA that meets every week. It's called Petitation, where people show up and meditate with their pets on their laps. One person had a bird, and some are dogs and cats, and they talk about their pets and dogs, and they talk about, you know, they talk about the practice. It's kind of cute. And some of these groups are in England or Australia, so they're different times of the day. I'm starting a retreat in a few days that is online. It's Inside Retreat Center. There's one I'm doing in April at Spirit Rock that's on Zoom. You have a retreat schedule. You have you sit at home, obviously, and there's instructions in the morning. There's walk and sit schedule, just like a regular retreat. There's a Dharma talk. They even have practice discussions where you meet one-on-one with the teacher, or sometimes there are group meetings with the teacher. So there's a lot out there to support practice if you're at home. And I found it a really rich opportunity. I'm a real social person, so I understand what that's like not to go out, but this is an opportunity. These kind of events are and just one-on-one or one, you know, with Zoom, you can just call up two or three friends and have a little group chat, you know. So it's really a nice way to go. And it's been a real opportunity for me just to go inward, and because I can't go out. I don't want to watch the television news. I don't want to really, I can just check out a little bit of news on my computer, and that's enough for me. I don't have to watch it all day long. And that makes me feel better. I can't really do much anyway about a lot of it. I just stay out of the way, protect myself, protect other people. And it's just a real interesting kind of opportunity to go inside. So I'm kind of taking advantage of the opportunity. Right?
Thank you, Fred.
Yeah.
Glad to have you with us. Bonnie, do you have anything for us? I guess not.
Oh, no. I just had to unmute myself. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, good.
Okay. You know, it's all kind of new. I have to say that for me, there's, you know, a tiny little silver lining in that. I'm home taking care of that long, long to-do list, which I was not doing so much of before. I miss the things that I did before, playing pickleball, et cetera, et cetera. On the other hand, I'm doing all these things. I was in the middle of, for example, I was in the middle of redoing my front hall staircase and upper hall, stripping wallpaper. Not me personally, but my neighbor is doing that. So we're finding ways to continue that work to some extent. I live with my older daughter and my grandson, so we are being able to be together. And I was thinking today how, geez, we haven't lost, haven't anything. It's just been pleasant, actually. And since they're, of course, younger than I am, they do all the going out and shopping, which is nice. I meditate every day and feel really good about that. And about the Sangha, as Laurel and Gail said, we would love to have every week have the Sangha meet on Zoom. We're not sure how that'll work out, and hopefully when the steering committee meets next week, we'll figure it out. But I was thinking that, and this occurred to me because Laurel's in Salt Lake City and can never come to Alameda meetings once they resume in person, is that maybe there is some way that our meetings could continue for those who are not nearby, could continue on Zoom once we are meeting again in person. And that's all I have to say.
Thanks for thinking of me.
You're welcome.
So, Lupe.
Yes. Can you hear me?
I can, and I can see your hand.
Now okay, good. I'm so good. I this is the second time I'm doing a Zoom meeting, so I have a lot to learn as well. A couple of times you all kept going in and out, and I had to be connected. But what I wanted to say is that it's so wonderful to see you, to hear you, and to see all the friendly faces from Sangha. It's very nice. And like Kathleen, I've had experienced some degree of anxiety about all of this. And I thought, okay, this is the sign. I need to get back into Sangha. So I was very happy and delighted to see that someone, David Harkos, was making the effort, and all of you, to get us online so that I can now join you and meditate. So I just wanted to say that I was very pleased to be able to join you tonight, and I look forward to being able to, one, to learn how to operate my phone and my tablet so that you don't get disconnected and I don't have to redial, but also to be able to meditate with all of you again.
Thank you, Lupe. Pierrette, how about you?
I've just been listening and enjoying hearing what everybody has to say. It almost feels as though I learned more about some of the individual members of the Sangha through this type of a meeting than when we meet in person. And so it has really helped me feel well connected to you all, and I've enjoyed being with you tonight.
Time for one more.
Hi.
Hi.
A story, if you will, that may help. My grandfather died in the flu pandemic of 1918, and it was devastating to the family, the large Irish Catholic family in San Francisco, and seven kids. And the responsibility, my grandmother had to go to work, of course, and the responsibility for raising all the kids fell on the oldest daughter, my Aunt Florence. So I cannot imagine what it's like for a 13-year-old girl to all of a sudden be responsible for a huge litter of kids, a badly behaved litter of kids. But she did it. And I only knew her as an adult, but she was the most quiet, powerful, matriarchal, generous, smiling figure you can imagine. And and was well-loved, deeply loved. And I'm sure what she suffered and went through carried on for years, you know, and the equanimity and love that she broadcast around the room was amazing. And so out of this tragedy, a lot of that good came through her efforts, through her goodwill and love and work. So I hope that can help some of us. It helps me. That's all.
Thank you. That's very helpful. And you've all been very helpful to me, and I really appreciate it. I really do feel the presence of the Sangha. And I hope you have. And that it helps you in this next week. And I eagerly await news from the steering committee. And we'll just see where we go from there. Would you just join me in a moment of quiet? No special position is needed. But just be with your breathing. Be aware of the breath coming in and going out. And appreciate yourself. And all of those who are with us, and all of those who have been with us over the years, and all of those who have done this practice for so many centuries, And at any time that we feel the need of support, we know that there are people, dedicated practitioners out there, at that moment, sending out metta that's for us. Because as we do, they're sending it out for all beings. And may the goodness that comes from our practice together this evening benefit all beings throughout time and space. May we all be well. Thank you.
Namaste. Thank you.
Thank you, Rebecca.
It's a joy.
Thank you, Rebecca. Nice to see everybody.
Yes, likewise. Take care, everybody.
Yep.
Take care. Have a good week.
Bye, Julie.
Bye, Risa.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.